Good morning. This morning we're going to look at 2 Timothy 3, specific verses from 10 to 17, with a specific emphasis on verse 10. So in the beginning of chapter 3, Paul starts chapter 3 with a reminder that these are the last days waiting for the coming of Christ. These last days, meaning the days from when Christ first came to the second coming. These are perilous days. They are here and continue to come to the church each and every day. That was true in Paul's time and is so true today in this time. We have imposters, wicked men, spiritual frauds, those who want to destroy God's work. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, "Now you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance, my persecution, and my suffering, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the scarred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, for teaching and righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work." Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, reading your words, may we truly open our heart to hear the words that you would have us to hear, to be able to have a change of heart, to walk out these doors different than we come in. Lord, may you give me these words. May it not be me speaking these things, but Lord, may you be speaking to each and everyone here today. Speak to their hearts, to the correction that we need through the sanctification walk that we walk each and every day. Amen. So in order to continue in this passage of Timothy, first I really want to give you a look at Timothy and his life and the accomplishments. Paul. First we have to look at Paul before we can look at Timothy. Paul wrote 13 different letters. As we heard earlier, we heard the actual conversion from Saul to Paul on the road to Damascus, which was a very key pivotal point, as Mike brought out, that it was God that called upon him. And that is the same in each and every one of our lives. We do not have anything to do with our salvation, but God calls upon us to do this. So as we look back at Paul's history, we first see after his conversion, he went out on a missionary journey, and that was from about 45 to 47 AD. Then he had a second missionary journey between 51 and 54. Then he came back and he wrote Galatians. Galatians, in a synopsis, this is just a short phrase of what Galatians encompasses, which is a lot more than this. It is a wall-to-wall argument against false teachers. Then he wrote the letters to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It was to instruct and encourage the churches to continue their patient waiting for Christ's return while living in a way that honors the far-reaching implications of the gospel. And then after that, he went on his third missionary journey, which was from 54 to 58. And then he came back and he wrote 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians was about Paul's defends the gospel against corruption and where the beginning where this is the beginning of smuggling in underneath of the genius of human wisdom or the cloak of cardinal chaos, the chaos within the churches. And then in 2 Corinthians was the letter that Paul wrote to defend the gospel's authority and purity and not his own. And then Romans. Romans was one of his biggest books. Paul, it was the most ordered and comprehensive exposition of the gospel doctrine, with full exposition of the justification, the sanctification, eternal security, election, reprobation, and the grafting of the Gentiles into the people of God and the ultimate restoration of Israel. And then after that, he was imprisoned in Rome. This imprisonment was light. This was like home arrest. He was able to have visitors in and out during this time. He was able to write letters at this time in and out. So he was able to preach the gospel to the people and even to some of the guards. That came into more of a play in his second imprisonment. So then he wrote to Philemon, which is an intensely personal note written to help reconcile a runaway slave with his master. Truly an example of imputation and atonement. Then he wrote to Colossians. He addressed all such deliberate attempts to make the gospel seem complex. He defended the gospel in its simplicity. Then he wrote to the Philippians. And it was his joy, and the epistle is most filled with practical counsel and exhortation. Then between his first imprisonment and his second imprisonment, it was between 63 and 67, is when he wrote to Timothy and Titus, Timothy 1 and Titus. It is where when he wrote to them, there are full Paul's urges for those two young pastors to carry on Paul's legacy by carefully safeguarding the truth of the gospel. Then he was imprisoned shortly after that. And in prison, this prison was literally a lockup. He had prison guards. The only thing he was able to do is write letters. And during this imprisonment, which would be his last because he was taken from prison to death, this is when he wrote this letter. 2 Timothy was wrote from his imprisonment not long after that. He had wrote the letter, finally, the final parts of this letter. He was led by a Roman soldier to a place of execution where he would be beheaded for the sake of Christ. To go from persecuting Christians, as he was in Saul, all the way to writing the encouragement and to the true defense of the gospel, to these letters, shows the power of God through a man. So now as we look at Timothy, Timothy is a native of Lystra, born in 17 AD. He's referred to in the New Testament 28 times. Timothy's mother was a Jewish mother named Eunice, allowing Timothy to preach in the synagogues because he was descendant of a Jew. His mother became a Jewish Christian, seen in Acts 16:1 and 2 Timothy 1:5. His father was a Gentile, and his grandmother on his mother's side was Lucy, and she too was a Christian from conversion. Both were converted during Paul's first missionary journey to the city in 46 when Paul had healed the crippled man. And we see Timothy was taught as a child about the scriptures in 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. The first time Paul would have met Timothy would have been in Listeria in 50 AD, soon after beginning in his second missionary journey. Paul was encouraged by several church members in Iconium to take him as a young man with him to travel and watch him preach and to help him. And we can see that in Acts 16, 2 and 3. Timothy was ordained by Paul to serve by his side, 1 Timothy 4, 14, 2 Timothy 1, 6. And then after that, Paul had given him over to minister into churches, and he ended up ministering to at least five churches after that. Timothy accompanied Paul on most of his second missionary journey, traveling with him from Listeria, and then he was an apostle with the apostles in Ephesus during Paul's third missionary journey. During Paul's imprisonment in Rome at the end of his last journey, Paul is writing his fourth letter and mentions Timothy three times. And bringing in Timothy in Philippians 1:1, second Philippians 2:19, and Colossians 1:1. Then on Paul's last journey to Rome and in his imprisonment just before death, Paul requested Timothy to visit him. I am sure that was for one last time. And we can see that in 2 Timothy 4:9, 13, and 21. Paul testified to these in Philippians regarding the unique Christian characteristics of Timothy and his declaration his dedication to spread the gospel. For I have no one who is like-minded who has genuine concern for you, but you know the proof of him that a child with a father. He served with me in the gospel, Philippians 2, 20 and 22. At the end of Timothy's life, it's not mentioned in the Bible how he dies, but the Fox Book of Martyrs mentions him of dying in 97 AD. And I find it interesting, this goes to prove his character and the upbringing that Paul had put upon him. It's said in the Fox Books of Martyrs that he was murdered when he told a crowd of pagans that their idolatry celebration was ridiculous. They pulled him out and killed him on the spot. Paul says to Timothy, it is true in my time, it is true in your time. It will be true through all the times and all the seasons of the church that the church will be in grave danger and peril from the onslaught of the wicked people who come along masquerading and misrepresenting of Christians true. But who is the deception of the church and the people? Paul knows it takes a strong man to stand against people and false gospels. This is what he wrote every one of his books and letters doing. Paul was a stalwart soldier and wanted Timothy to follow in his footsteps. Paul knew that Timothy was to be a kind of leader, a key leader and a kind of leader in the church that would fall, it would all fall to Timothy to be the stalwart soldier and even a general of the army that would defend the faith. And Paul knew that this was coming, and it was coming quickly. So what we are going to look at today, yes, this was just my opening, I'm sorry. It was a quick overview, I promise. So what we're going to look at today is one of the ingredients in these verses that is necessary in the character of a strong soldier of the faith. The things that both Paul and Timothy showed through every one of these verses that we had looked at. Having a strong example as a mentor is an important factor that Paul knew. And when we looked at the verse, verse 10, 3:10 in 2 Timothy 3. The very first three words, now you follow. You follow. Paul is talking directly to Timothy and he says, you follow. The word follow is parakaluthein. Literally means to follow alongside. This is exactly what Paul was wanting of Timothy and wanting of so many others of the men of the church, to follow alongside in his example. To follow along can also mean to copy, to make pattern of, to be an exact replica. So many people today think to make exact replicas of somebody is a bad thing. And I'm here to tell you, if you look in the right places and the right people of what you want to be, that is nothing but a good thing. Because there is nothing new in this world that is, everybody thinks they've come up with a new fad, a new thing. No, it hasn't. It's just been run through the washer and recycled and brought back out. So for me to say I want to be a clone of somebody, I want to be like somebody, doesn't mean exactly a replica. Look, I would love to be exactly like John MacArthur. But there's not enough grace that God can give me to be perfect like him. He still fails, but he is someone that I would mimic after. He is a mentor, someone who preaches the truth, someone who is one of these men, a stalwart of the faith. So each and every one of us, along with the graduates, we need to look for someone to follow, an example. And we're going to look in a moment of what Paul is telling us these examples are, the examples that he had in his own life to follow alongside. We need to look for somebody that is worthy of following. It is said that whoever you are around is who you will become like. Whatever you are around, you will become like. So if you learn that now, and follow the right people, the people that are striving after the men of God, you will become a man of God. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, I exalt you, therefore be imitators of me. Those are words from Paul. He is truly telling people, look, God struck me down when I was persecuting so many and changed me. And now I want to defend his word. Be imitators of me. Pattern your life after me. Then he says, for this reason, because I want you to be like me, I have sent to you Timothy, because he will remind me of you. He was an exact clone, a person of like mind, marked just like Paul, sending him to encourage Corinth. Now the list that follows after this, the list starts off, my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my persecution, my perseverance, and my suffering. These things are broken down into three different areas. And the first being my teaching and my conduct. My teaching, Paul here is talking about literally ministry duties, both teaching and conduct. Teaching means doctrine, literally the word of God, where we get it from, how we get it, and how we're influenced by others. Paul's doctrine came right from God himself. Conduct, meaning the manner of life, pattern of behavior. These two things together makes up what it is that we are to be. Meaning, if conduct was in perfect harmony with your living, wouldn't you live what you preach? Living what you teach. Living what you preach. These are the duties of a ministry: to teach the truth and to live the truth. How many of us can say that about our own walk? Is it that we come in here on Sunday and we practice reading the Bible? We read these things and we say, yes, man, that is so good. But do we walk out those doors changed? Walk out those doors living out the doctrine of God. The examples that are left behind from Paul, Timothy, and so many others are the examples of those who teach and live the same. John MacArthur is the same behind his pulpit as he is out in that parking lot. And I've met so many others in these last few days, like Vody Bachman, that literally what you hear from that pulpit is how they live behind it. I know we all fail at times, but it's how we fail and how we react to that is truly shows what we were taught and how we live. So the next category will be personal character. It will be my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love. Purpose meaning the inner motive. What is in your heart? So many times I've talked to the youth about what is your desire? What is it that truly drives you? Acts 20, I do not count my life dear unto myself. I want to finish the ministry Christ gave to me. Wanting to finish strong. Philippians 1, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Do we have that desire, that motive in our life? To go to that extent, to defend the faith, to look, if I die doing this, I gain to be with Christ. What kind of people does it take to defend the faith? People with motive and purpose. My faith can also be shown as faithfulness. Faith in God, loyalty. Even when persecution comes to him, he was a sight of faithfulness to God. The persecution that Paul went through and that Timothy witnessed attested to the faithfulness he had to God, coming from persecuting the Christians to be the one that was persecuted. His faithfulness endured all. My patience, mekophilim, means the spirit that endures persecution from people. Steadfast spirit that never gives up and never gives up. I apparently wrote that twice because it was that important. My love, agape, volition, love of Paul was evident in every dimension. He loved God unwaveringly. He loved God so much that he gave his life on their behalf for the defense of the gospel. Difficult experiences is the next category. Perseverance, persecution, and suffering. It goes right after these, such as happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. These three places were specific to bring him back to the exact time that Timothy would have met him and the times that he would have seen him go through. And the persecution here was is when he healed a man after preaching in the synagogue and being loved by the people, but the Jewish people actually not, they were actually the Jewish people were mad at him because they were jealous because he was getting such people to listen to him about the gospel. that they shoved him out of one city, was stoned in another, and then thrown on a dump heap at the next one. That was the suffering and to defend the gospel that he had. And that's why he mentions it here as a reminder to Timothy, back to when he truly walked through these things with him. Paul was made stronger because of these things, and Timothy had witnessed them and how Paul had handled them, these things. Persecution, or perseverance, patience with circumstances, not patience with people. The biggest difference is we think of patience and perseverance with people so many times, to be patient with them. And it's more of the circumstances that happened at the time. And the specific times that this perseverance come about in Paul was in such things as when he was jailed. That was the situation he was in. And then when he had the thorns in the flesh. These were times he persevered through. Persecution means to pursue people. Paul was pursued. Pursued for trying to defend the gospel in every turn, in every place. Paul had plenty of this in his life. He had hatred people on every missionary journey he had. And then we come to suffering. Pathos, suffering, sorrow. Being stoned is not something that feels good. But every one of these things, Paul knew he was standing hard and fast on the gospel. He was being the example. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if I am insane. If I'm insane, I more so in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times, without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from the countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among the false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposures. These were the sufferings of persecution. And all of these things, it says in verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. But if we back up one line, it gives us the hope. It says, out of it all, the Lord delivered me. This was a quote out of Psalms 34:19, and that exact passage says, many are afflicted of the righteous, but the God delivers him out of all. You know, as I look through this list of things that Paul tells Timothy to look at him, look, you've been through with these things. I have been faithful in all of these things. I think of people, you know, as we talk about the mentoring and following of others, I think of people within our own church that are exact examples of every one of these things. These are the people that we need to look to mentor after, that are so strong and stalwart in this faith. As many of you know, when Kyra went through her strokes, there was many times I sat with her, and I even expressed this to her, of the perseverance of her faith. Watching her suffer physically, but not spiritually. She continued to have the faith that Paul talks about here, the love that Paul talks about here, to continue to endure, to persevere. It's the same thing with visiting with Chuck the other night. To want to persevere through all of these hardships, to continue on, but not only that, to be an example for someone else. To thank God for these people in my life and our life as these examples. And they're just a few. We have so many others. The stalwart of the faith that Paul talks about here is the exact things that we need in our own lives. The rest of these verses read out in 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look, that verse there alone, preach on that probably all day long. But just know this, because we've seen it in the past and we know it's coming in the future. It's not getting any better. Outside these walls and inside these walls. You, however, continue in the things you have learned. Paul is telling Timothy, continue in these things. Do not let your guard down. You will continue to be persecuted. You will continue to be suffered. You will suffer. And become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood you have known the scarred writings of which were able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through the faith which is Christ Jesus. This is mentioning his history, his grandmother and his mother, how they started in him and teaching in the Old Testament, and then watching them turn to God, and then him following Paul after this. The foundation that we as parents give our kids in the scriptures today is so important to start the foundation. And then these around us in our church that are mentors would pick up from that spot and teach them and show them an example of these other things in their walk and in their life. Then 16 and 17, you can spend 2 to 3 weeks preaching this from the pulpit. This is the most quoted scripture in the book most of the times from the pulpit. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for the teaching, for the reproof and correction, for training and in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The words itself say it. Inspired by God. If we do not believe these two verses, there is no use for the rest of the book. Paul believed every word in this book from front to back. You know, the one thing that I found in my studies is Paul knew the Old Testament, and a lot of his writings bled through some of the Old Testament into there, and he knew them because of the way he was raised as a Jewish person that persecuted others. He actually used the Old Testament against them. But then, when he was struck down on the road to Damascus, that all changed. Those words, the Old Testament he learned then, now God put to work in him. That is how he came to be an example for so many to defend that gospel. So the three ingredients you have here in this passage are, you listening up? Because this is the end. We must have a strong example as a mentor in our life. And be very careful of where you find that. Because what you mimic is what you will become. Number two, we must be a person who stands true in an uncompromising way for the faith. All Scripture is inspired by God. We must, number three, we must have a strong confidence in this Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for the teaching, for the reproof, for the correction, for training in righteousness. That is what we do here as teachers. We are charged with these things. And we pray to God that we uphold these things. These three ingredients that tend to build a strong man, a strong pattern to follow, a strong spiritual foundation, and a strong confidence in the Word of God. These are the things that get you through the suffering, the persecution, the trials, the temptations. These are the ingredients that Paul had and patterned for Timothy, so Timothy would follow and pattern them so that then he would be charged with the faith and so he would pass it on. Timothy was left as a strong man of God and a defender of the gospel. So you guys that are graduating or changing off to your new endeavors in life, the Word of God is all inspired by Him. The mentors that are in this Bible, the mentors that are in this church, the men that you can look up to, the women that you can look up to, as examples of stalwart in the faith, to defend the gospel, to tell you the truth, and to correct you when you're wrong. Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you for this message, Lord. I know this message was your words and not mine, Lord, that like you said, that these, your words, this is your, all Scripture is inspired by you. Lord, I pray today, as there's many here today, and there's some that truly may not know who you truly are, Lord, I pray that you would tug at them to know, Lord, to be one of yours, to be secure in you, in your salvation, is truly our desire for them. Lord, I pray for those that are continuing on and changing in their ways of life, that this new challenge, that they would first look to your word, to you for your guidance, your truth will only edify the strength of your word. Lord, may they look for patterns in men in their church that would be these examples, the examples of Paul, the examples of Timothy. Lord, that we would have the desire to be the stalwart in the faith, to preach the truth, not only to teach it, but to live it outside these doors. Thank you, Lord, and all this in your name. Amen.